Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And we're back, and we're going to touch on a subject that's very relevant and important for most people, and it's credit. Credit determines a lot of things in this world, doesn't it? How you can buy things, how you can finance. Things that sometimes we don't even realize. Getting a job. I mean, all kinds of things are affected by your credit. And it is true for people that have a lot of money or not so much, and all of us in between. So we are very excited to have Michael Schreiber on the line with us. He is editor-in-chief and chief content officer at credit.com. So this is a great resource on the internet for you, credit.com. And I'm excited because this is a topic that comes up all the time, so I'm glad to be able to get an expert on the line and talk to us about it. Michael leads the editorial and content team over at credit.com, and they have more than 50 experts. Get that, 50 experts that they are having contribute to the website. The content is syndicated across many major news and media outlets, including Yahoo, MSN, AOL, ABC, CBS, and many others. And Michael is an Emmy and DuPont award-winning journalist and producer, over 15 years experience working in print, television, and online. So he is obviously well pedigreed with this area, and he has also worked as managing editor of MainStreet.com, personal finance site owned by TheStreet.com, graduate of Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism, and has also served as an adjunct professor in the multimedia department. So let's get Michael on the line. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David, and thank you for that amazing intro, which my mother thanks you for also.
You're welcome. Well, listen, take me on the road. I'll introduce you anytime you want. So,
great.
We have somebody that comes on with your kind of background. I make sure our listeners know who I'm talking with because, you know, you and I are going to just kind of talk through some of this about credit, and it's going to be a lot of the questions that I know our listeners will have for you, so I get to stand in for them and ask you. The most important thing, kind of to get started here, I know that you've been in this area and have been really chief content officer. I mean, that's a big title. But you've been in this area for a long time of personal finance and credit issues. What got you involved in this area and really kind of got you more into the reporting side?
Sure. I started as a newspaper reporter many years ago, and I did that for a little while, and then I eventually migrated to documentaries, and I worked on a number of documentaries with the New York Times, and they were producing episodes of the show Frontline.
So okay, sure.
That's how that worked, and I worked on one documentary for that group about the credit card industry. It was called The Secret History of the Credit Card. It was about 10 years ago when we did that. And it was a really successful documentary. No one thought it was going to be because everybody was kind of like, how are we going to show interesting pictures of credit cards?
I mean, right.
Plastic.
Right.
But it turned out to be really compelling because, you know, everybody has credit cards, but very few people, especially at that time, understood how they worked. And so it was kind of one of those hidden in plain sight investigations.
Interesting.
So we spent a lot of time, demystifying credit cards for people.
Well, thank you for that, because it is, for a lot of people, still a mystery, and we sometimes run into things that make us scratch our head and go, huh, that I don't understand, that makes sense. Some of the big things that people think about with credit and credit cards is that there's so much out there information-wise, and that's probably the wrong word. There's so much data out there, so much noise that people are easily confused by 0% offer financing or minimum monthly payments or how paying your credit card or not paying your credit card or other loans affects your credit. So I've got a lot I want to get to. But before we do, let's talk for a minute about credit.com. Now, this is a website that people can go to, and I did a little navigation, and I was not bombarded with a million different advertisements on how to lose weight not eating bananas. I mean, it was, I felt like I was on a very professionally put together website. Hats off to you for that, by the way. And it was a quality product. And so the first question that I think is important for our listeners is, tell us about credit.com, why it exists, where did it come from, and, you know, how people can use it as a service to better their personal credit.
Sure. Well, credit.com was founded about 20 years ago in the mid-90s by a former head of consumer affairs for the state of New Jersey, a guy named Adam Levin. And he he founded the website. He actually traded the domain name credit.com for a hard drive, if you believe that, back then. And it was really founded as an educational site. And over the years, it's taken on, it's gone through different stages. But, you know, we've really held up education and consumer advocacy as our main mantle. I came on about 6 years ago to really develop the editorial operation. So we have a news team that syndicates content, as you mentioned, to a lot of different news sites. So you'll read credit.com articles all over the web. So we do that, but then people come to credit.com, they register for an account, and it's free, and what they get for it is two free credit scores, and then really a tool that explains why the scores are what they are. A lot of people are confused by credit scores. They're getting credit scores from lots of different places. And
right.
What we try and do is clarify why these scores are what they are, what kind of data goes into them, what the difference, for example, between a credit report and a credit score is. And so, you know, that's why people come. They come for education as well as their own data explained to them in a way that they can actually understand.
Well, that in and of itself is a major accomplishment, because, you know, it's funny. It's not funny, but it's ironic, I guess, is the way I want to say, Michael, is that sometimes people in their attempt to have a positive impact on their credit, or just to know what it is, their scores, if they mess with it too much, they can end up, it's kind of like butterfly wings, you know, don't touch it, it's not going to fly, you're going to mess it up.
Yeah, well, it's true. I mean, some people really do obsess about this stuff, and I mean, you know, one guy who's written for us a number of times would always say, you know, kind of just try and forget, you know, what the exact score is. Don't make a competition where you're obsessing about your credit score overwhelmingly. Just pay attention to the factors that go into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and a lot of those are, you know, will make sense to people once they're explained what they are. And there are certain things that they can control and certain things that they can't. When you do what you can, pay your bills on time, don't take on too much debt, things like that, you know, over time, their scores will be okay. You know, some people are in situations where they have, you know, really acute problems, whether they've had a bankruptcy or something like that, or big medical bills, and those people need more specific advice. And there's a lot of content on credit.com about that too. But, you know, the main thing is that people, you know, hear about credit scores, they're getting them from all different places, whether it's their credit card company or student loan place, and they end up just kind of obsessing about it. You know, there was a time where people didn't know what their credit scores were, and they obsessed because they wanted to find out. Now they're getting credit scores from so many places, they're obsessing because they it's almost information overload.
Sure. Well, I will tell you this, Michael, you'll be proud of me. I stopped looking at my credit score once I found out my wife's score was a little higher than mine.
Oh, really? A little self-preservation there.
So I don't look anymore. Oh, it's funny. Michael Schreiber, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today, editor-in-chief and chief content officer over at credit.com. We're going to grab a quick break, and we'll come back and dig a little deeper with Michael into this whole world of credit. And I've got a long list, a scroll of questions for Michael. Stay right there.
The Rice & Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I specialize in representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. Spouses getting divorced in their 50s, 60s, and 70s confront far different challenges than younger people. If you have questions about alimony, division of retirement or investment accounts, Social Security, health insurance, or anything else, you can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222. Or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
How's this for convenient one-stop shopping? Holland Financial offers so many services through its subsidiaries, like fee-based investment management, financial planning, retirement and estate planning, fixed annuities, long-term care, disability and life insurance, and tax return preparation. Our founder, David Holland, also has specialized training to serve as a trustee and executor for families wanting sound financial stewardship for their beneficiaries. Many of your neighbors and local families have chosen Holland Financial because we've helped them plan stronger. Call 671-PLAN and meet with David one-on-one, or visit Holland Financial at planstronger.com.
And we are back. Credit.com is the website. Fast Company said top 10 financial websites. This free service makes credit scores easier to understand. And CNNMoney.com says 20 best money websites. They're on the list of both. So pretty good company to keep, so to speak. And our guest today is Michael Schreiber, who is the editor-in-chief and chief content officer at Credit.com. Few too many C's there for me, Michael. I got to dig back in, and I've got a couple questions that I have to get to before we keep going. So, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of these questions before, so the listeners are going to want me to ask you, does paying your credit card off in full every month, or carrying a balance and then paying it over time, or same with an auto loan, maybe you got the deal with the at the car dealership and you know it's a good deal and you're like, I can pay it off, or I could just make monthly payments. Does actually holding on and making your payments regularly give you end up helping you have a better score than if you just had the cash and paid it off?
Well, it really depends. It definitely makes sense and helps to make sure that you're paying off your bills. Certainly, if you can pay off bills in full, that can be a very good thing. And the reason why is, you know, your credit scores are based on a number of factors. One of those factors is the amount of debt you have relative to the available credit you have. And goes for revolving debt, like credit cards.
Okay.
Auto loans are a little bit different. They're treated like installment debt, like your mortgage, per se. But a credit card, you know, at any given point in the month, you know, they're looking at what the amount of credit you have relative to the amount of credit in use. And there are various factors. Well, there are various thoughts about. People have a few different thoughts in terms of what an ideal amount is in terms of the amount of debt that you're carrying on your credit card.
Sure.
And there's not a whole lot of agreement on that. Only FICO and the various other credit scoring companies know what that number is, if there is in fact any kind of ideal number. But the less debt you have relative to the available credit you have, the better.
Okay.
Some people have said to keep it below 10%. But what some people do is they pay off their credit cards immediately. So they don't even wait until the bill comes.
Right.
You charge
right.
something.
Right.
You pay it off right away. And then whenever the credit scoring model checks your credit report, it's always going to show that zero credit is in use. But that takes a lot of work, and it's kind of tricking the system. I mean, you could be spending up your credit cards, up to 90%, but if you're paying them off right away, then the credit scoring model would never see it. So it's not something that I would necessarily advise, but it's what some people do in order to make sure that there's always a 0% utilization ratio on their credit scores.
Wow.
In terms of installment loans, one of the other factors that goes into your credit score is the mix of different types of credit accounts. So credit scoring models typically like it when you've got one credit card and then one mortgage and then one auto loan and a student loan. You have a mix of different types of credit and you're managing them all well. So if you were to pay off everything all at once, your credit mix would go down. You might then only have a credit card, and that would be considered potentially, you know, not as good as having a big credit mix. But, you know, credit mix is not as important as the amount of credit you're using, and your payment history is certainly the most important thing, meaning are you paying your bills on time.
Right.
So those two are really the biggies.
Those are the big ones. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and I know you have a lot of resources on this these subjects on credit.com.
Yeah. The articles on credit.com will explain it way better than I
do. No, you did just fine. Hey, listen, it's only a 30-minute show, so we're getting to as much as we can. But, you know, the other thing that's a very related question, and I know I've already seen on your website you've got a lot of information about this, is can people, and so it's going to sound a little bit loaded, but I don't think it is, can people, quote-unquote, really clean up their credit? You know, can they really, is it a matter of going in and finding things that weren't done correctly and cleaning up legitimate misclassifications or errors? I think I saw on your website like 1 in 5 people have a misclassification or error on their credit report.
Yeah, and there certainly are ways to do that. I mean, there is a process for disputing errors on credit reports, either with the credit reporting bureaus, meaning Equifax, Experian, or TransUnion, or disputing them with the data furnishers or the credit card companies, the people who are reporting your payment information to those credit bureaus. And there is a way to do that on your own. You can write, there are letters to be written, and there's process to follow. There are ways to even dispute things online with some of the bureaus. There are, you can hire companies to do that kind of thing as well, you know, for a fee, but you can certainly do it on your own. And it's not uncommon that people will have things on their credit reports that are not accurate.
Well, that's a great point, Michael. You can do it yourself. There are services, and that kind of brings me to, but there are ways to legitimately clean up your credit and improve your score. Now, that brings me to a related point about fees and maybe paying somebody to help you is this whole area that has, of course, gotten a pretty black eye for, I think, a lot of justifiable reasons, and that is this idea of eliminating debt and, you know, not paying debt off and getting some sort of easement or abatement or reduction of the debt negotiated for you. And that whole area, you know, it would strike me that if you go down that path, and in some cases that's where people sometimes end up, but going down that path is definitely going to have an impact on your credit.
Oh, absolutely. If you stop paying all your bills, start sending all of your money to a company that's supposed to hold on to it, keep a portion of it, and then settle with your creditors for an amount less than what you owe, then a number of things are going to happen. Your credit is going to show that you haven't been paying on time, and you could potentially have you'll have that on your credit report for any number of years, depending on how it's being reported. And then the other problem is if let's say a creditor forgives, let's say you owe $10,000 and a creditor forgives $5,000 of it, that $5,000 that's been forgiven could be treated as income by the IRS and you'll owe taxes on it. So not exactly out of the woods.
Yeah, that's well put, Michael. And they're not a creditor you want to have to tangle with.
Yeah. People get these tax forms called 1099-Cs.
Yeah.
A lot of times, the creditors wait years before they send them out. Like, there was a period a few years ago where we were hearing from consumers all over the country that were getting tax bills and these 1099-C forms for stuff like debt that they didn't even remember having. It could have been like 10 or more years old.
Right.
And suddenly they owe thousands of dollars in back taxes on this stuff.
That's right.
No one saw it coming.
Yeah, that little notice in the mail is kind of like the lion laying by the water pool on those safari TV documentaries we see and just waiting for you to come up to get a drink. It's going to get you eventually.
Mm-hmm.
This is really a subject I think a lot of people need to do their homework and do more research and you know, educate themselves. And that's why I applaud what you've done, what your company's done with the website credit.com. If you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Schreiber is our guest today, editor-in-chief and chief content officer at credit.com. He and 50 other experts weighing in on their content that they're delivering to a wide range of media outlets. So we're going to grab a quick break. We'll come back and dig into some other important subjects related to this and how to make sense of those credit scores and what to do with them. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, Reverse Mortgage Director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort. In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
And we're back. Michael Schreiber on the line with us, editor-in-chief and chief content officer over at credit.com. And, you know, the thing we left everybody with before the break there, Michael, is all these different credit scores. And, it kind of becomes Charlie Brown, you know, wah, 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 wah. You know, as people just they hear it and they're like, I don't, Credit Karma, credit reports, credit dating sites. I mean, just all kinds of noise out there. So how do people make sense of a credit score, the difference between that and a report and the different scores themselves?
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, there was a time where credit scores were really just used by lenders to try and, you know, it was like shorthand for should I give this person a loan?
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, it became clear that people wanted to see these scores.
Like right,
they wanted to know what the banks were saying about them, and that's understandable. Right. But, you know, people kind of had the misconception for a long time that a credit score is like an SAT score, that you had one of them and you had to figure out what that one score was.
Right.
And then you'd know how you were doing. The reality is that there are dozens and dozens of credit scores. Now, people hear FICO, and they think, oh, FICO score, that's the one credit score. That's the one that most people have heard of. It's certainly the one that banks use most frequently.
Right.
But there are dozens of different FICO scores.
How
there are lots
that?
Of different FICO score models. And really, I should say, you know, a credit score is just a mathematical formula. It takes the information in your credit report, and, you know, and that's basically what the banks are telling the credit bureaus, how you pay, you know, how long you've had credit cards, you know, what kind of a credit citizen you are. Credit scores are really just designed to take that information about you and compute it into a number. So it weighs those things, that information, in different ways depending on what the credit scoring model is. So there are lots of different FICO scores that are based on data from the different credit bureaus. In addition to FICO, there is a company called VantageScore, and VantageScore was actually created by the credit bureaus and is kind of independent but equally owned by those credit bureaus. And they have their own credit scoring models, and there are a number of different VantageScore models, 9 of them. And then there are lots of other scores that were created by the bureaus themselves. So, you know, the thing is, at this point, you know, people get credit scores from so many different places because now there is an appetite for them that it's very hard for the average person to figure out which score they should be paying attention to. And there's really no one answer to that question.
Right.
If you're getting credit scores from your credit card company, and a lot of credit card companies are doing that now, you know, you may say, okay, I'm getting a real FICO score from such and such a credit card. And that's true. It is a real FICO score. But it may be a FICO score that's using a model that's different from the FICO score being used by your mortgage company. So you can't just assume that because it's an actual FICO score that one FICO score is going to be used by everyone.
Right.
And that may be why the FICO score that you're seeing from one source is different from the FICO score you're seeing from another source.
That's a great point, Michael. Well, you know, it's funny how, you know, it's this American culture, you know. It's like, okay, let's find out what the score is, then we'll figure out how we can game the system. And we can, we've seen the TV commercial, you know, I want to game the system and get a high FICO score, whatever it is, so I can walk out of the car sales place it's a loan or something, but walk out with a guy's plant from his office, you know, because you can get the better deal on the mortgage. And it's a lot of hype. It's a lot of keeping up with the Joneses and, you know, it's a lot of that kind of stuff. But as you said, people just need to realize that there's a lot of these different scores out there. They definitely need to educate themselves, go to the website, credit.com, learn more about it, and understand how these scores are being used. Now, with that website out there, one of the things I also wanted to get to, Michael, which is kind of related because there's so much of this stuff, what does your team do? You know, you've got a team there at credit.com. What are they doing on a day-to-day basis to either provide additional content that's helping people or just maybe answering questions or providing some service to help people with where they are?
Yeah, well, my team, you know, really focuses on the creation of articles and doing journalism. So we We write about 50 articles a week, and those articles go up on credit.com. They get syndicated out to all of those different media sources that we distribute our stories to. So you'll see our stuff on Yahoo, on AOL, on, you know, MSN, on CBS, and all these different places. And so that's what we're kind of working on day in and day out. And a lot of those stories that we're producing are based on the questions that we get from people. So what often happens is, you know, we write a story, that story gets posted, and people ask questions in the comments. Often these questions, you know, are general enough or can be generalized that they'll have real relevance for a lot of people. So what we'll then do is we'll take that question and we'll turn it into an article about that subject that can be helpful for a lot of people. And then we'll write that piece and we'll syndicate it and kind of create a feedback loop. We'll put it out on social media and try and spread the word to make sure that as many people that have that question as possible can also get that answer.
That's very good. Well, and the website's easy to navigate for people just to give them a little taste. There's sections on credit cards, credit repair, credit reports, and the scoring we talked about. There's a section on loans and information on debt consolidation, which we could spend a whole show just talking about that, Michael. Auto loans, student loans, which as another great subject, student loans and how that affects your credit score, especially if you've co-signed for somebody and or they are having trouble paying theirs and how that might affect your credit. So there's a lot of resources there, and I applaud you and your company for making so much available. And a lot of this content is available at no charge, and just you sign up, you open an account, and you have access to a lot of great information.
Yeah, all the stuff on credit.com, the credit report card, as well as all of the articles, it's all free. So,
excellent. That's good stuff. I tell you, if people aren't sure of how this stuff works, they just need to spend a little bit of time to understand it and be able to get some insight. And, you know, the other thing I was going to ask is, one of the things I know that your company talks about is being an advocate for people. And how do you see that advocacy really playing out, Michael? Is it, you know, in making sure they have quality information at their fingertips?
Yeah, that's really it. I mean, we don't like to tell people what they should do. We want to inform people what their options are, what the likely consequences of their behavior are, so they can make informed decisions and ultimately do what's right for them and what's important to them. And that's kind of, you know, whenever you're looking at a variety of products and services, that's really what you got to do. I mean, people need to do what's right for them, but they need to understand what the consequences are of their choices.
Amen to that. And that's exactly what I do here, Michael. So
there you go.
Well put. Michael Schreiber, ladies and gentlemen, editor-in-chief and chief content officer over at credit.com. Go to the website, check it out, credit.com. And I appreciate you spending some time with Michael. I know you're very busy. I thank you for joining us, and we'll have to have you back to hit one of these other myriad subjects that we just barely touched on. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, David. That sounds good to me.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.